Episode 60, People Pleasing, Part 2. Are you a people pleaser? This is the Expat Mom Podcast, a podcast for expat moms around the world who want to feel better and improve their emotional health as they navigate the unique challenges of living and mothering abroad. I'm your host, Jenny Linton. I'm a certified life coach, a mom to four daughters, and married to a U.S. diplomat. I've lived in six countries on four continents. I know what it's like to feel stuck emotionally, and I know how to get unstuck. I'm excited to share with you some tools to help you feel less discouraged, improve your relationships, and increase your confidence. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. I hope you're doing well. Our family has been working on fixing up the garden in front of our house. When we arrived, it was just full of weeds, and it really hadn't been cared for. And so our family and a good friend of mine have been spreading like tarps. We did pulled the weeds and we spread tarps on it, and then we put mulch and we planted things. It looks so much better. And it was really funny. And the last day when I was doing the garden, some of the neighbors were like, wow, it looks so good. Like, wow, no one has taken care of that for such a long time. And it was not something I expected, but it was really nice. And it reminded me how good it feels when people like you or like what you're doing. It really speaks to that primitive desire to be part of the tribe, to be liked, to be loved, which is, as we talked about last time, an essential part of being human. The problem comes when we care too much about what other people think. And that is exactly our topic today, is people pleasing. Last week, we talked about the niceness disease, which is a name coined by Dr. David Burns, a well-known psychiatrist. He's an author, and he was also a Stanford professor. He estimates that 75% of anxiety is caused by the niceness disease. In the last episode, episode 59, we discussed what the niceness disease is and why it's such a problem. If you haven't had a chance to listen to that episode, go back and listen to it first before you listen to this episode, because they really build on each other. And there's some important foundational perspectives there that will help you address today's and next week's podcast on people pleasing. Today, we're going to build on that, and we're going to look at how to recognize or quote unquote diagnose yourself if you have the niceness disease. Before we jump into that, let me share something that one of my listeners shared with me this week. She explained that after she listened to the last episode on people pleasing, she began to see people pleasing in a whole new light. She'd previously thought of it as something that, yeah, felt kind of exhausting, but it was still kind. The podcast offered her a new frame to look at people pleasing through. The idea that people pleasing is dishonest or misleading. And it helped her to recognize that while it may be beneficial to someone else sometimes, in the long run, it often depletes the relationship. And it's frankly not very kind to yourself to people please. It really caused her to consider her own habits and her attempts to people please. I'm so thankful she took the time to share with me about her experience and thoughts. If you've had any insight or success from one of the podcasts of 1 Minute Wisdom, please email my website, theexpatmom.com, or you can direct message me on Instagram at @theexpatmomcoach. Each week, I take one tool or perspective from the podcast and I boil it down into something useful you can read in about 1 minute. And you can immediately apply it to your life and your family. You can sign up for this free resource by clicking the link in the show notes or on my website, theexpatmom.com. So let me start out today's episode by sharing a story about people-pleasing that happened to me last week. Our family recently attended an ice cream social at the girls' elementary school, and it was so fun to meet other families and enjoy the event. The PTA had set up tables that were advertising and asking parents to volunteer. I saw the tables, and one of the PTA moms asked me about volunteering. So I looked at the signups, I looked at the moms. They were so sweet to be volunteering their time. I know the PTA makes a big difference to our family's experience at any school. And I felt kind of guilty for not signing up. But I also felt really overwhelmed as I looked at all the opportunities. And I felt kind of torn. My brain was like, you know, I really should sign up. I have 3 children at this school. My kids would love it if I volunteered. Even thoughts like, what will these ladies think if you don't sign up? But on the other hand, my brain was saying, oh, you have so much on your plate right now. How would you fit it in? Oh, that's just going to add so much stress. And I stood there debating and feeling awkward with the other moms looking at me. Now, I know many of you have probably been here. You have walked up to those PTA tables. Maybe you've experienced similar thoughts. As I stood there, I thought about signing up as I thought, you know, I really should help out. And it would have been nice to avoid the awkwardness of the moment of leaving without signing up. But inside, I knew that if I signed up, I would likely feel stressed out and overwhelmed. And it's possible that in the midst of all that stress and overwhelm, I might not be a very good mom to my kiddos by adding more busyness. Our family just moved and I have a lot going on. And I know my first priority is my family and my emotional health and their emotional health. I knew that adding one more thing right now, I might even feel resentful inside the whole time that I was helping with the PTA. I made the decision that this year the PTA was too much for me. I took a deep breath and I thanked the moms who were standing at the table for their time volunteering, and I left without signing up to help. To be honest, it was a bit awkward. But afterwards, it felt like such a relief to politely decline. Ironically, it might have been the kindest thing I could do this year for myself and my family, who are the people who matter most to me. Dave Ramsey says, we spend a lot of time and money trying to impress people we don't even know or like. Frankly, it may have even been kinder to the PTA. While I'm sure they would have appreciated my help, I might have shown up harried or late or busy and maybe even resentful. And that kind of help sometimes isn't very helpful. Now, this is an important caveat. Signing up for the PTA is not people-pleasing. It can actually be a wonderful way to contribute and serve and improve your community. I'm so thankful for all the wonderful parents who volunteer. And in the past, I have helped in my kids' classes. I was a room mom and I loved it. I really did it sincerely out of kindness because I wanted to do it and I wanted to be part of my kids' lives in that way. What made this situation a potential people-pleasing moment was my current situation and how I was feeling about it. Recognizing people-pleasing can be a bit challenging or nuanced because what looks like kindness, even to ourselves, may actually be people-pleasing. If we can't recognize people-pleasing in ourselves, it's hard to change it. And then we continue to be subject to all of the negative effects of people-pleasing that we talked about last time. So today, we're going to discuss a bit about how to know if you are people-pleasing and if you have the niceness disease. It may look a bit like kindness. It may be shrouded in friendly behavior, and it may even be reinforced by positive social feedback. The niceness disease can be difficult to detect. However, just as physical illnesses are often diagnosed by patient's symptoms, there are external and internal symptoms of people-pleasing. In order to help diagnose yourself, listen and see if you recognize any of these external or internal symptoms. The more of them you have on a frequent basis, the more likely you are people-pleasing or a people-pleaser. I'm going to start with external symptoms, and I'm going to read them off as a list. So if you have a piece of paper, you may just want to make some hatch marks as I go along if you have something like that handy. So the first one is you're really likable. Now, people can be likable for many reasons, but it is a very common symptom of people who are people pleasers. Another symptom is you're excessively friendly or gracious. You're always saying and doing the socially quote unquote right things that other people want us to say and do. Now, there is nothing wrong with being gracious and kind, but when we're always doing that, even at the expense of what we actually feel or believe, this can be a symptom of people pleasing. Third, you rarely feel or at least rarely express negative emotion. So maybe someone says something rude and you just continue to smile or ignore it or shove down the pain saying, oh, I'm sure they didn't mean it. Another symptom is that People pleasers usually say yes most or all of the time when they are asked to do something, even when they don't feel like they want to or they can. Another symptom is that they often feel discouraged, as if it's impossible to live up to other people's expectations. Take a minute and try to think of a few people in your life that you feel like it's hard to live up to their expectations. If you can list more than about two, consider that a symptom for people pleasing. Maybe you feel exhausted from constantly worrying about what others think. I remember several years ago, I used to come home from like a social event and replay different conversations in my mind about what I had said to people or what they said or what they did that made me wonder about this. That can be a really common symptom of people pleasing. It is exhausting. Another symptom is that they place others' needs above their own. So when a child needs something and you're in the middle of something, you pretty much always help the child. When you and your spouse disagree on something, you always go with what your spouse wants. When you and a friend get together, you don't really have an opinion. You just kind of go with what they want to do. And again, this can also be fine to be easygoing. But when you do have an opinion about things and you don't speak up, this begins to take a toll on us and our relationships. Another symptom can be very busy. People pleasers are usually busy people. They have a lot going on because they've said yes to everything and they want to uphold social standards and have a beautiful, clean house. They want to look nice. They want their children to look and perform nicely. They want to take dinner to all the neighbors. They want to do all the right things. So they're often very busy. Another symptom can be that you are self-depreciating. Now, self-depreciating humor can actually be a lot of fun and very endearing, but we don't want to be self-depreciating in a very negative way. So we don't want to be like, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I apologize. Even when it's not even our fault, we just apologize in order to smooth the situation over. Can be an interesting symptom. Another symptom can be that you tend to blame yourself when issues come up. So something happens with your child and immediately your thought is, oh, I should have taught them better. Oh, if I would have done this, if I would have done that. We often take blame on ourselves in order to make it easier or better for others. There are many symptoms, but I'm going to mention one last one before we move on to external symptoms. But one of the symptoms of people pleasing is feeling like you have to have your house perfect or you have to look perfect before you leave the house. So for example, someone drops by and the house is a mess. Like if you are feeling humiliated by that and worrying about it, you may have some people-pleasing tendencies. Now, of course, it's wonderful to have a clean house, but that idea of feeling like we have to present the perfect version of ourselves can manifest itself in that way. Another way is like if you are working and you have a report due, feeling like it has to be perfect 100% so that nobody thinks less of you or that you worry about what your colleagues think of you. All of those are symptoms of people pleasing. In addition to these external behaviors that may help us recognize that we're people pleasing, there are also some important indicators internally. Our emotions can be really important indicators about what's going on inside us. Because as we discussed, sometimes those external behaviors can look the same in somebody who's sincerely being kind or wants to help and in someone who is people-pleasing. So when we're looking at internal indicators of people-pleasing, we're talking about emotions that you're going to be feeling if you're people-pleasing. And we're also talking about common thoughts that you may be having. So let me start with thoughts that might be common. You might be thinking things like, I was thinking about the PTA, like I should do blank. Oh, you know what? I really should do that. Another common thought is, oh, I won't be a good mom if I don't do that. Or I won't be a good person if I do that. Or I'm not a good wife because I didn't do this. I really feel like sisters should do blank. Right? So feeling like our status as a good whatever fill in the blank of the role is determined by whether or not we do this particular event or activity or thing that someone else wants us to do. Another common thought among people pleasers is, you know, it's just easier to do this than to deal with all the drama or emotional throwback. So as a mom, I'm sure you can relate to this. Maybe you have a young child who desperately wants like the pink bowl or the red bowl or the green bowl, right? And there isn't one clean, right? And so rather than just giving them another color bowl, maybe you go to the dishwasher and you actually wash the color bowl just to avoid the drama of dealing with their blow up or whatever, right? We've all experienced this desire to kind of avoid extra drama. That can be an indicator, if that's happening frequently, that can be an indicator of people pleasing. Another common thought is, I don't want to put anyone out. I don't want to be a burden. So we see this all over. Maybe you really need help with something, but you don't want to call and put anyone out. Or maybe you're an older person who needs some help, but you feel awkward asking people to come in and admitting that, yeah, I need help, because you want people to have this view of you that you are capable. A similar one is having thoughts like, oh, I just wish so-and-so would do blank, but I don't want to bring it up because it's going to cause all sorts of issues and it's just not worth it. If you've ever had thoughts like this, these are people-pleasing thoughts. Another one is, what would so-and-so think of me if I did blank or told them blank? So this can play out in either a negative context or a positive context. So like, oh, if I wear this dress to church, I wonder if people will notice or say, have a compliment, right? Or I want to really show up amazing in my meeting at work today by, you know, being prepared and looking really good. Or on the negative side, like, oh, if people knew how I yell at my kids, they would never think that I was a good mom. So that can be an interesting indicator. Another common thought or perception is, if I fall short of doing things, you know, to my own expectations, I'm just not doing enough. I'm inadequate. That kind of idea that what we do is associated with our value or our lovability. Another one is, I just can't do it all. They feel overwhelmed because they're constantly trying to be 20 different people and being the person that every single person wants. And it's exhausting, right? So this feeling of overwhelm, I can't do it all. Maybe another one is the thought, why do people always ask me? Why don't they ask somebody else? Like this feeling of dread that people might ask you things because you already feel busy and overwhelmed. Also thoughts like, so-and-so didn't even care that I did all that work, or they didn't really appreciate me. That can be a really common thought of people pleasers. Many people pleasers are also perfectionists. So things like, I need to do this perfectly. And then finally, worrying about consequences of what will happen if you don't do certain things. So for example, oh, my children are going to have to grow up and get counseling because of, you know, whatever, like I didn't listen to them very well one night during bedtime and rushed through it, or my spouse will leave me if I told them, whatever, I don't want to do X. So worrying about what other people might do if they found out the real you. Now we know that our thoughts create our feelings. So when we have thoughts like the ones I just shared, they are going to elicit certain emotions. And sometimes it's easier to recognize our emotions than it is to recognize our thoughts. About 90% of our thoughts are unconscious. So it's helpful sometimes to use our emotions as the immediate red flag to indicate, oh, wait, something's a little bit off. So I'm going to list some of the emotions that you may consider as you're evaluating yourself for people pleasing. So one of the dominant emotions people pleasers may have is resentment. So they feel this sense of, I shouldn't have to do all of this, or I'm doing more than other people, or I'm not being appreciated or valued enough for what I'm doing. And the reason that comes is because we feel like we're doing something we don't want to do. And so we end up placing resentment on others. Another common emotion that people pleasers have is the feeling of being overwhelmed. So again, we talked about this a little bit, but everybody, you feel like you constantly are saying yes, or you feel like you have to do it. And so our lives fill up very quickly. We feel like we have to help the child right when they want it. We feel like we've got to have an amazing 10-course dinner with all organic, natural, whole foods. We feel like our house has to be perfectly clean. We've got to be serving the neighbor. We've got to have everything polished, right? We've got to look amazing. So we feel this sense of overwhelm because we're trying to do everything and it's too much. People pleasers may feel unappreciated because remember, they are attaching this expectation of love or acceptance or gratitude to their task. So when they don't receive that, it's really common for them to have this feeling of feeling unappreciated. Another common emotion is feeling misunderstood. So here we are trying to put out this amazing version of ourselves, right? And then we come home and we collapse and we just can't do it anymore. And we feel like we have to be on this hamster wheel of trying to impress people constantly, right? To keep up the image of ourselves that we believe allows people to love us. But inside, we're feeling like people don't really know who I am. They don't realize how much I'm struggling. They don't realize how hard, whatever, my kids are or whatever. And so we can feel this weird dichotomy of feeling loved and accepted for someone who we aren't. And that causes this feeling of being misunderstood. We can also feel inadequate because, as we talked about, we're trying to be all things to all people and we're definitely going to fall short. So we sometimes feel inadequate. We might feel discouraged, like we've tried and tried and tried and we can just never be enough to everybody. We might feel taken advantage of by others. And we may feel like other people are forcing us to do things against their will, even though they're not. Our obligation, our view of it is what is causing us to feel compelled to do it, not the other person. Nobody was holding a gun to my head and said, you must participate in the PTA, right? It was not a forced thing. It was my own set of expectations that was causing discomfort. But it's easy to feel and blame others like they're taking advantage of us. We can feel stressed and lonely, again, for the same reasons of feeling kind of overwhelmed or feeling isolated, like people don't actually understand us. So if you had a chance to kind of go through and make some hash marks, notice how many hash marks you have. If any of those things resonate and you have several hash marks, you may want to consider that you might want to look at your behavior and consider shifting some of it. Because as we talked about, people pleasing can be so destructive to yourself and to others. Now, just as when you look up on Mayo Clinic or you go into the doctor and they explain that you have X illness, a lot of times they will give you information about possible complications. So if your illness progresses to a certain point, it may become something way worse. And today, just like people who have illness can get complications, people with the quote unquote niceness disease can also get complications. We talked about some of the issues that come out of people pleasing, especially in the short term. But I want to offer you some broader complications that can come when you are consistently over a long period of time people pleasing. The first one is anxiety. You heard me quote that statistic last time and this time on the podcast, that over 75% of people who suffer from anxiety are likely people pleasers. Let's just stop and reflect for a minute. That is a stunning statistic. In other words, 3/4 of anxiety could be caused by people pleasing. I think that is really significant to look at. And it makes sense because anxiety can be caused from shoving down emotions and being afraid to feel certain emotions, right? That's why we're worried about the spider. We don't want to feel fear. We don't want something bad to happen to us, right? It's why children might not want to go to school because they are worried about what other people might think or they might make a mistake or whatever. One of the main contributors to anxiety is this idea of shoving down feelings and not feeling comfortable to feel the broad spectrum of emotions. So it makes sense that when people pleasers are going to have anxiety because they are shoving down feelings of maybe disappointment or worry or stress in order to please other people. And then once they do please somebody by shoving down their feelings, they have this horrible cycle that's reinforcing, which happens. And we then think, oh, well, to get along with this person or to be accepted by this person, I have to keep shoving down these feelings in order to be acceptable. I can't voice my opinion if it's contrary to somebody else, because then they might not like me. And so we reinforce these loops of feeling like we have to shove down emotion. So it's no wonder that so many people develop anxiety when they're people pleasers. The second complication I want to address is depression. So over time, we may start out with anxiety, but then we may end up with depression. Many people pleasers become depressed because they just can't keep up. They try and try and try. They feel like they have to in order to be loved and acceptable. And eventually they become discouraged because they realize, I cannot be all things to all people. I can't keep up with my own expectations or anyone else's because they're just unrealistic. And then they make that quote unquote failure to live up to everyone's expectations mean something about themselves. Well, I'm just not worthy of love. Oh, well, I'm just not good enough. I can't pull it together. I can't do it all. You can see how these kind of thoughts become very self-defeating and discouraging. You begin to feel helpless and hopeless, which are the kind of emotions that tend to surround depression. We know that in depression, when people have a very strong support system, it often can lessen the timeline of depression or lessen the severity, or both. And that isn't true across the board, but in general, that can be a supportive factor. So when someone is suffering from depression based on people pleasing, they have the added disadvantage of not being able to receive people's love because they literally feel like they are not worthy, or they don't recognize that others would be willing to love them even in their imperfection, because they've never had that experience. They've only found connection through perfectionism. As a result, they may think, yeah, other people like me, but they never experience that deep and validating experience of being loved even in their imperfection. They associate love with perfection. This can feel so disconnecting and so isolating, and it can further exacerbate depression. The third complication I'm going to talk about today, and believe me, this is not an exhaustive list, but these are three common ones that I see, is low self-confidence. So how you feel on the outside and how you feel on the inside often do not match when you people please, right? You're feeling gracious and lovely and happy on the outside, but inside you may be stressed out or overwhelmed or resentful or angry or worried. This incongruence in our outside and inside causes the brain to feel unsettled. The brain hates when there's a discrepancy. We may think, yeah, I should help out with the PTA, but inside we know we're maxed out and it would compromise our health to add one more thing. The brain must justify itself in order to reconcile this discrepancy. So it either blames something like, oh, the PTA is so demanding. Why aren't other moms signing up? Why do I always have to be the one? Or it can reconcile itself through shame. So I really should sign up. What's wrong with me? Why can't I pull it together? Everyone else seems to be volunteering. Either way, this shame or blame can take a toll on our self-confidence. We begin to feel either like we're doing something against our own will or that we are inadequate in some way. Both of these decrease self-confidence. In addition, while people pleasers try to keep up with this harried pace of doing what everyone else wants and making everyone else happy, sometimes they lose themselves. They're so worried about what others need and what others think, they don't even know entirely who they are anymore. They forget what they like or what they want because they've been so busy serving what everyone else wants, they forget who they are. So sometimes, even if they decide they want to advocate for their own interests or needs in a loving way, it becomes much harder to advocate for their own needs because they're unknown. I think it's really interesting to step back and look at some of the results of people pleasing, because I think our brain often is focused on the short-term result. oh, I don't want to make this person mad, or oh, I want to look good. But when we step back, look at the powerful and concerning impact that people pleasing can have on us. Anxiety, depression, low self-esteem, difficult relationships, and so many other things. I think it's useful to ask ourselves, is that immediate hit of dopamine or adrenaline you get from people-pleasing worth all of these difficult resulting complications? Now, I want to be really, really clear. Depression, anxiety, and low self-esteem can be caused by a myriad of sources, biological and biochemical issues, hormones, trauma, crisis, developmental phases of life, relationship stress, environmental stresses, and so much more. So I am not by any stretch suggesting that all depression is caused by people-pleasing. However, I am suggesting that people-pleasing can lead to or exacerbate anxiety and depression and low self-esteem if it becomes a way of thinking and behaving in your life. If people-pleasing does become a default behavior pattern, it can take some work to rewire our brains and our behavior. But it is totally possible to shift our patterns of thinking and behaving. So if you're a people-pleaser, it is not just the way you are. It's not a permanent condition. Our brains are plastic. That means they can change all the way until we die. We can create different patterns of thinking and feeling and acting. Next time, we are going to discuss the quote-unquote cure for the niceness disease. Or you could also call it How to Stop People-Pleasing. Another relevant title would be How to Bring More Truth, Honesty, Kindness, and Peace to Your Life and Your Relationships. I'm really excited about this episode because this is where we really get into the practical details of how to shift the way that you're interacting with yourself. It's important that you have this background so you have the framework in order to move out of people-pleasing. But I want you to know that we are getting to more practical steps for shifting out of people-pleasing. So next, we're going to go to the Expat Exit Strategy, and this is the place in the podcast where we apply the things that we've been learning on this episode. So if you haven't already had a chance to actually take the people-pleasing symptom quiz, I would encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast when you have a pencil and paper. And make hatch marks. See how many of these symptoms resonate with you. There is no particular number that qualifies as you are a people-pleaser. But generally, the more you have, the more people-pleasing you are doing in your life. The less you have, the less people-pleasing you're doing. It's just a way for you to kind of get a baseline measurement of yourself and how you're interacting with yourself and others. Then I want you to also take a look at complications. Have any of these been true for you? Have you experienced anxiety or depression or some version of low self-esteem? It might be interesting for you to look at your people-pleasing numbers. If you have both depression or anxiety and high people-pleasing numbers, there's a possibility that there could be some correlation there. So watch yourself this week. Notice when you are exhibiting any of these symptoms that we talked about, thoughts, feelings, and outward behaviors that may indicate people-pleasing, and notice the impact that it has on you. If you would like some help working on people-pleasing, please sign up for a free 30-minute mini coaching session. I would love to jump in with you and help you recognize any blind spots and navigate how to get out of this people-pleasing habit. I'll talk to you next week. If you like what you're learning on this podcast, please share this episode with a friend. I wish that I had these tools a lot earlier in my life, and I'd love to pass them along to more people who can benefit. I also appreciate when you leave reviews for the podcast. It helps me know my listeners better and understand what you find useful. It also helps the podcast grow. You can find more free resources to improve your relationships and your emotional health on my website at theexpatmom.com and on my Instagram page at theexpatmomcoach.